This is Misha Riddell interviewing John Cederquist at the Artist Studio in San Clemente, California on April 14th, 2009 for the Smithsonian Institution Archives of American Art. This is disc number one. We thought we'd start with a brief discussion about the new work, the Dollar Bill series that you just started. And when did this begin?
It was pretty much inspired out of the economic disaster. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that up front now I've got Gary, who is he's an image reproducer and works with an inkjet printer and has a good scanner and all of that stuff. So we were just playing around wrinkling up a dollar bill and scanning it. And then I started realizing the potential of what we can do with it. I mean, the dollar bill is very graphic, and it's interesting how it's hasn't changed that much. They've changed the 20 and all the other bills, but the one they've kept.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I've become quite familiar with the image. all the little flora and fauna and the there's a lot more on it than you realize.
Sure.
Especially when you have to start reproducing it. So,
and as images go, it's especially potent.
Yeah, you know, I just started realizing how many visual metaphors you can make with it and just started doing that. Just, you know, you'll see the one with the scissors cutting it in half, and there's the one of them that's burning up, and the other one, a lot of people don't realize it, but it's the first one I did, it's just sort of sitting there with a screw holding it up. And the George is distorted and the bill is wrinkled, but I also played around with enlarging segments of it and reducing segments of it. And I don't know if people are going to pick up on that until they really look at it. Some of the floral, you know, the leaves and berries and stuff, I increased the size of those and the ones and all the other things involved in it, and took stuff out because it just got to be too much.
Mm-hmm.
And as always, I see the image and start seeing all the different potentials in terms of making it into a chair, making it into a bench, and just recently now I'm looking at making it into a chest of drawers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's the fun thing about the process, is that you can make a lot of different forms with it. And I've always thought the forms as being, you know, nothing more than a very complicated canvas.
Mm-hmm. So the image really does suggest the form to you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the
be it a chair or a bench.
Right. And the interesting part of it is that you have to somehow make both of them work. One has to work in relationship to the other, and I can show you some instances of that, especially with the earlier work, the larger chest of drawers, and and especially the piece that was at the museum in Boston, and playing around with perspective too.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the underlying thing for all of it, is having an awareness of the perspective and where how it fits in relationship to one another, and where it, in a lot of cases, it doesn't make any sense, but people still have that sense and feeling of dimension, even though it isn't absolutely correct.
Right.
And this is what I was teaching in my two-dimensional design classes, is that if you put the linear perspective together with a light source and shading, and you combine all of them, it's amazing how, you know, reinforced it makes something look dimensional. So the dollar bill was perfect to set it up for being the back. If you go back into early work, you can see where I've always been interested in tools.
Right.
And I have a big pair of scissors right there in my chest that I can show you exactly the model for the scissors that I'm using there. And the other thing that was suggested too is the fact that I know that this particular kind of maple, when you bleach it and stain it with grays